Exodus chapter 6, it's on now. Exodus chapter 6. Let's all stand in reverence towards God if you can. If you can't, that's okay. You already know. Lord knows you're standing in your heart. Amen. Exodus chapter 6, verse 1. Then the Lord said unto Moses, Now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh. For with a strong hand shall he let them go, and with a strong hand shall he drive them out of his land. And God spake unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord. And I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty. But by the name Jehovah was I not known to them. And I have also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage, wherein they were strangers. And I have also heard the groanings of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage, and I have remembered my covenant. Wherefore, say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage. I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments, and I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God. And ye shall know that I am the Lord, your God, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And I will bring you into the land concerning the which I did swear to give it to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, and I will give it you for an heritage. I am the Lord. Let's pray. Our most kind and gracious Lord, we thank you for your scriptures. Lord, the word that we can study. Lord, and that you lay on our hearts that you are the Lord. You are Jehovah. And Lord, we thank you for that. Lord, I ask today if there's someone in the sound of my voice that doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, that today, Lord, everything will change for them. They will trust in you. You will become their Lord and Savior, and they will have eternity with you. Lord, I thank you for that. I ask that you would open our hearts and minds to your word. Lord, all of us that do know you, and let us realize who you really are. And we thank you. Asked you to hide me behind that cross. It has nothing to do with me. It is all about Jesus. And in his name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, bring you a little up a little ways. They had went to Egypt because of a famine. And in the land, and Joseph was there, of course, if you know anything about all of that. Came a Pharaoh at one time that he didn't know Joseph. And they ended up becoming slaves. And everything God does is for a purpose. Everything. Sometimes we don't quite see why. We don't quite understand why. But he does it all for a purpose. And what he did to those back then, what he allowed to happen was for a purpose for them, but not only for them, but for us also. I want to focus on, and now he sent Moses. If you read in Exodus, you find out Moses was born. He was a goodly child. If you're a mom, all your children are goodly. Some of them I looked at and I thought, no. You'll run the prison. My youngest granddaughter, she'll probably run the state pen in Canyon City, Colorado. She is meaner than a snake. They say she's a lot like me. I don't know. But anyway, no, she's a sweetie, but she does have a way with things. You look at all these children, and it's like Moses' mom, Jochebed. Oh, he's a goodly child. But I believe the Lord laid it on her heart to realize that he had a special work to do. You see, God raised him up for a special work. Now, he, through a series of events and what have you, he fled and he went over into the mountains of Sinai. There was a purpose behind that. He didn't just pick a place. He went over there, and for 40 years, he wandered around out there with a bunch of sheep. And there was a reason behind that, because he was going to lead about 3 million or maybe a little more out of there, sheep being people. And he was going to take them where? Mount Sinai. That's where they all ended up. So there was a lot of reasons behind that. So Moses is up there. The Lord appears to him in a burning bush and talks to him. And he says, hey, you're going to go down to Egypt and you're going to bring the people out because I've heard their calling. I've heard their groanings. I see what's going on. And you're going to take them out of there. And of course, Moses made all kind of excuses. But the Lord said, now, you tell them I am sent you. And then he tells him here a very important word. He says, before I was known as the Almighty God. God Almighty, El Shaddai. And that's what he was known as. And if you look in Genesis, you'll find that in Genesis, they called him, they knew him really as Elohim, which is plural, actually is what it means. And it's, I know there's another group of people that like to use that, but they're dumber than that podium over there. And I'll go ahead and tell you, he is the one true only God. Amen. Jehovah is the existent one. He's the one, that's what they use. He said, but they're not going to realize this whole name, I am the Lord, until I'm done. But you tell them that, I am the Lord. Now, I want to focus on that. Those four little words, I am the Lord, they are very powerful. Small words, one syllable. I, ain't nothing else in there. See, I've been teaching English and language. I know all these things now. Me and Zoe had a good time in class the other day, and I had to look up some stuff. Because I wasn't sure what an adjective, how you go through all that, she'd let me know. But I wanted to understand it more myself. And adverb and when you underline an adverb and when, you know, all of this fancy stuff. So I got all that. Am. There's only one syllable. The am. The Lord. That ain't a hard one. That ain't like Jehovah. But anyway, we'll get on with the message. When Lord is printed in all capital letters, it stands for the wonderful name Jehovah, which is in Hebrew, I am the Lord. The name Elohim, which we talked about, when it's printed in the capital G, God, it means Elohim. It's translated from the Hebrew Elohim, and it's suggesting the Trinity. And really, it means strong and faithful one. Now, the Israelites didn't really understand all that the words, I am the Lord, meant. You see, verse 6 says, wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will rid you of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments. That's important. To redeem means to buy back. They had got them in there. They had them under bondage. And there was lots of things going on there. And the Lord said, I'm going to buy them back. The Israelites had been free. They were not under any kind of bondage until then. And the Lord says, I'm going to buy them back. But they were now, at that point, they were slaves of Pharaoh. And God bought them back to liberty. Took them right out of bondage. You see, this is the meaning of redemption that we read in the New Testament. We were born slaves to sin, every one of us. You may not have been a bad sinner, if there's a word for that. You might have been a worse sinner. You might have been a light sinner. You ever heard that term? Oh, it's a little white lie. And then there's a black lie. Black lie is bad. White lie, You know, that's the way we look at it. Well, maybe you was a little white sinner. I better be careful there. Somebody had me arrested. So we'll go with light and dark. So, you know, maybe there's a lighter sin and a darker sin. I got news for you. A white lie and a black lie, they're all lies. Sin is sin, however you want to look at it. But we always want to categorize them but it's sin. And we were born into that. Slaves to it, thanks to Adam and Eve, because they couldn't obey. And we needed to be redeemed, and the Redeemer was Christ. You see, His death on the cross was the price of our freedom. He gave His life on the cross of Calvary for us. God made man in His own image. It says so in the Bible. It says God made man in His own image. That was Adam and Eve. By the way, they were made in God's image. You wasn't. I know what people say, but I'm going to go by what the Bible says. You see, but man sinned and they lost that companionship with God. Now, if you go and read over in Genesis, it said, then all of a sudden, Adam had a child. His wife did. People used to come to me, you guys are having a baby. I said, no, she is. And they do that with the other two. You guys are having another baby. No, she is. I ain't taking part in none of that. I know I was there for the initial, but I'm not. And we had three of them, little rugrats. I'll move on. I'm going to get in trouble. Made in my image. Adam had a son. And the Bible says it was made in His image. Why? Because he sinned and gave away what God had given him. Amen. He no longer had dominion over everything. He gave it all to the devil. Lock, stock, and barrel, the whole deed, just signed it over with a little... And we want to say, it was Eve's fault. Well, that's what Adam said. Woman's fault. Woman said, devil's fault. Devil said, You know, it boils down to we make our own choices, do we not? God gave us all a free will. We can decide what to do. Adam did not have to follow his wife. Abraham did not have to follow what his wife said, which we still live with today. They wear things on their head. But you see, when that happened, we were born into sin, and we didn't have companionship with God. You see, but God redeemed us back, bought by the shedding of Christ's precious blood on the cross of Calvary. Couldn't get that out. You see, the four words, I am the Lord, appear somewhere about 119 times in the Word of God. Some form or fashion, in there, but pretty much I am the Lord. And, you know, you ask yourself, why does that appear so much? Matter of fact, in just those 8 verses, it appears 1, 2, 3, 4 times. 4 times in just 8 verses. He wanted them to understand, I am the Lord. You see, we that are saved, all of us that have trusted the Lord Jesus as our Savior, we should be asking ourselves, why does it appear so much? Why is that sticking out so much to us? I got it underlined in here, and the only reason I didn't highlight it, because I couldn't find my stupid highlighter. It needs to be highlighted in your Bible. I am the Lord, and then ask yourself, why is it there? Now, here's my thoughts on that, and I think you'll agree with them, especially if you're saved. If you're not saved, I understand. People don't understand it all. You see, God is a loving God. Proof you're saved. That proves He's a loving God. You see, God didn't want anyone to perish. John 3:16, He said, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's to anybody, not just a select group. That's to everyone that's ever been born, that was born this morning, and that'll be born the next however many years that the world's going to be here. We don't know that. You see, God did not want anyone to perish. Matter of fact, 2 Timothy 3:9, He says that He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to the saving knowledge. He don't want anybody to perish. That's one reason that I am the Lord is special to me, because God loved me that much that He sent His Son to die for me. God loves all people, red, yellow, black, brown. Well, somebody sang a song one time. You ever heard that song? Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in His sight. Jesus loves the little children. Well, somebody I know put in there, red, yellow, brown, black and white. You got to add it all in there, so I ain't seen any pink folk yet. One of these days we'll add that in there. I've seen some that look it. He loves all people. It doesn't matter about a race. God doesn't look at all these people and say, well, I love these more than I love them. No, God loves them all. You know, He ain't like us. Praise God, He isn't. God loves all people. They're precious in His sight. God... Now, I'm going to say this about me, and I'm going to say that if you're alive, it means the same thing to you. If you're alive sitting here and saved, He never gave up on me. Did He ever give up on you? I'd say not. He never gave up on me. Although I wasn't interested, He never gave up on me. He kept on and kept on and kept on. We was talking about that in Sunday school this morning. It's called conviction. Boy, there was lots of times I went to church and I was under conviction. And I knew that what I was doing was wrong. And I knew that the only thing I needed to do was trust the Lord. But I was like, no, I don't want to do that. I got an image to keep up. I was trying to impress a girl that was going to be my wife. I had this image to keep up, and Lord, the last thing she needs to do is see me down at the altar praying and crying. I mean, what kind of man does that? You know, I was raised under a Marine. You didn't cry, unless there's a bone hanging out or something. But, you know, God never gave up on me. Matter of fact, what it boils down to, God sought me out. He came and found me and drug me out of the nasty swamps of sin. I am the Lord. He redeemed me. Even when I got saved, trusted the Lord Jesus, and even when I turned around and walked off, when I came back, he was right there, right where I left him. He never deserted me. I deserted him, but he never deserted me. You see, he also gives me strength, and he gives me courage every day. He's a lamp unto my feet. He's a light unto the path I'm walking. If I stumble over things, it's my own fault. I wasn't paying attention. You know, when you walk through the woods at night, that's forest for people out west, woods for people back east of the Continental Divide, it gets pretty rough. Matter of fact, you go down to Mississippi, where I grew up at, and you have a flashlight, and it's shining down here, and it's shining out here, and you're back and forth. And if you're walking along doing this, you ain't going to be walking along very long. You're going to fall flat on your face. Because there's all kind of stuff out there to trip you. They have what they call undergrowth. And when you're walking through the undergrowth in those parts of the country, man, you're just dragging along. Listen, sometimes in this life, we are dragging all kind of junk and having to step over all kind of junk. But guess what? We can, because we can see it. But we got to keep our eyes with the light. You don't want to just start wandering around. No, because you ain't going to last long. You're going to fall down if you're not paying attention. Our life in the Lord is the same way. If we are just not paying attention, and it's just that simple. It's not hard. If we're not paying attention, we're going to fall flat on our face. We got to be paying attention to where our feet's at. We got to be paying attention to what's in front of us so we'll know to pick up. And go over this one, step on top of that one. Be careful what logs you step over. You get bit. It can be dangerous. You see, but we got to remember this. I am the Lord Jehovah. When I fall down, he picks me up. And he don't always put me down. You know, he picks you up, stands you up, dusts you off. Sometimes he picks you up and does this. Because we ain't got brains enough to walk on our own. You know, the Lord's good to us. I didn't lay down. I went to the heart doctor the other day. I got a cool heart doctor. But I went to see him the other day. He wasn't real happy with me because I'd waited 2 years to do my stress test. But I did my stress test, and I passed it. And matter of fact, the guy says, you can quit whenever you want to. Okay. I went ahead and quit. I said, you know, I could have went on. I could have, maybe about two more steps. I didn't tell him that. But anyway, I go see my doctor, and he says, well, I was supposed to go see my doctor for the follow-up. He calls me up on the phone. Hey, Jim. I said, yeah. He said, don't worry about coming in. Ain't no need to come in and spend your money. He said, you're good. He said, your stress tests were good. EKG was good. Your cholesterol, he said, best I've seen. He said, excellent. He said, just keep doing what you're doing, and I'll see you in a year. I said, okay. But I didn't need that for this next thing I'm going to talk about. I didn't need to hear that from him. It made me feel better because I'm like, yeah, my cholesterol. Because see, my LDL was a few years ago was running right at about 300. Well, now it's 78. And all of you guys know what I eat. If it's fried, I eat it. If it's eggs, I eat them. Bacon, I am a bacon-eating wild nut. I eat bacon every day, don't I, Kalani? I'm even treating them right now. I'm bringing her and Cassandra bacon every
Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And everybody does that. Well, it's their teacher that brings it. I cook it. Bacon is good for you. So is steak, hamburgers, fried food. Don't let them lie to you. That stuff don't hurt you. But I can lay down at night, lay my head on the pillow, and it don't matter how I feel, because there's sometimes I get stupid, and that's what it is, and I overeat, and I overeat too late, and then when I lay down, I'm like, oh. But I can lay down at night, and I can rest, and I can close my eyes, and I can go to sleep, because the Lord has promised me that if I die before I wake, I'm not going to lay in a grave and sleep somewhere. I'm going to be with Him immediately. When I take my last breath and my heart stops, I'll wake up with Him. I'll see my Savior face to face. I will see I am the Lord, and it'll be a reality. You see, I can rest because of that. Even though the world is changing, do you believe the world's changing? How many, maybe it's just me, but how many of you just want to vomit whenever you look around at what's going on? Amen, I do. I just want to vomit. It's like, I cannot believe what they have done in such a short period of time. They have destroyed a godly nation. Just boom. Destroyed it. It just, and it makes me angry because I got grandkids that got to grow up in this mess. I got the, hence the reason we do school here. I may in the near future suffer some persecution. We really might. I don't know whether we will or not. I know my grandmother thought the same thing. Sandy's dad was a preacher. He used to preach that. Oh, we're going to suffer persecution. Well, he went on to the heaven. The Lord blessed him and took him on out of here. But you see, there's a verse in Timothy, and in that verse, and there's also a song, but it, nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. Are you ashamed to be a Christian? Or are you persuaded that the Lord's going to take care of you? You got to think about that. I am the Lord. In other words, He is Jehovah. He redeemed me. He is the existing one. He loved me enough that He gave His Son to die on Calvary for me. And I'm persuaded. Go with me to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 8, or you can write it down. Romans chapter 8, verse 38 and 39. He says, for I am persuaded, there it is again, I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor COVID, nor height, nor death, nor the flu, nor any other creature, car running over me, people shooting me, whatever I want to add in there shall be able to separate me. Says us, but I'm going to say me, from the love of God, which is in Christ our Jesus our Lord. There is nothing out there that can separate me from the love of God. I'm not worried about it. I've had COVID now, I don't know, 4 or 5 times. I really don't care. You just live with it. I've had the flu. I had pneumonia one time. One time they call it walking pneumonia. I guess because I'd walk and had pneumonia. You know, I don't know. I never understood the difference between pneumonia and walking pneumonia. It's the same difference. You can get up and walk with either one. But it was like, you know what? If God takes me, I had a heart attack in 2010, May. I hadn't even turned 50. I had about a month. And I had a heart attack to put a stent in the Widowmaker back there. And he was stressing, don't do nothing. Because they went in and they come out and they said, we can't do anything. We got to take you to a different hospital. But I can't get you in there for a few days. He stressed to her. He ain't even so much to pick up a glass of tea. You know what? I didn't worry about it. It's like, if you're going to die, what a way to go. It needs to be quick. And my understanding, the Widowmaker valve back there, that left back ventricle, it's a quick one. It's like, you're done. Hey, what a way to go. That's better than laying out in the road after somebody hits you in the couch, come up, what they leave. You know, because they start licking you first. First night, they just smell you. Second night, they might lick a little bit, and then they might munch. Third night, and then, we don't want to talk about the rest. it's better than laying there. But nonetheless, listen, I don't have to worry about it because nothing can separate me from the love that the Lord has for me. He has promised me that to be absent from this body is to be present with Him. Oh, what if I sinned and got hit by a car? It was already covered. I just didn't get to ask forgiveness. But it was already covered because when I got saved, He cleared me of all my past sins, present sins, and guess what? All of those that's in the future. Because if I can send myself out of salvation, I ain't got it to start with, and God ain't much of a God. That's the truth. But I can't. I'm putting the hand of Christ, putting the hand of God, and no one can pluck me from the hand of God. And I've told you this before, if they got that in open, and if they open the hand of Christ, they got to walk in there to get me, and to get on His blood, they're taken care of. They wouldn't want me anyway. They'd be saved. Are you persuaded? Think about that. Are you really persuaded that He is the Lord, that He is Jehovah, that He has promised us that He'll take care of us no matter what happens in our lives? Are you persuaded that there's nothing can separate you from His love? If so, amen. That's good. So what should we do? We're almost done. Oh, I'm getting good. We should continue in His Word. Amen. Continue in His... Got to go to some scriptures. If you want to, write them down. John chapter 8. John chapter 8, verse 31, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, if ye continue in My word, then are ye My disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. In other words, the truth, it's like a recipe. And as we study the Word of God and grow closer to Him and become a disciple, it sets us free from all sorts of stuff. Helps us to live our life. We should also continue in His love. John chapter 15 and verse 9. John 15 and verse 9, it says, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in My love. We are to continue in the Lord's love. We should continue in prayer. Colossians chapter 4. That's one of them over there past Philippians. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. Continue in prayer. Watching the same with thanksgiving. No matter what life's dishing us out, look what we've got waiting. Eye hath not seen nor ear heard what waits for us in heaven. Amen. Now, I'll be honest with you. Any of you been to heaven yet? I ain't been there, so that kind of worries me. You know, when somebody said, "Were you going here?" Man, I ain't been there. First time I ever went to Houston, I was kind of worried. I ain't been to Houston. I was rightly worried. When I got there, it was a pretty rough place. When I first went to work in the oil fields, man, I get down there to lowland Louisiana, and I'd been told lots of stories about the bayous. I'd keep my eyes open, and like, these things out there wanting to kill you and eat you. I went to an oil rig. When I finally got out there in the Gulf of Mexico on the oil rigs, it was like, well, I'm here. Ain't near as bad as I thought. Listen, we don't have to worry about that with heaven. Heaven is going to surpass anything that we could dream of. Any utopia that we could possibly dream of, heaven is going to surpass it. God loves us enough. He gave us His Son. He ain't going to send us somewhere that we ain't going to like. I may not like the idea of leaving loved ones behind, but that'll all change too when it's all said and done. A matter of fact, ain't nobody showed back up and said, "I ain't like it up here, I'm going to stay down here." I ain't met nobody yet. Lazarus, do you realize God raised Lazarus from the dead? 4 days he'd been dead. Where do you think he was at? In a holding tank? No, he was in paradise. He had it made. And Jesus had to bring him back. I believe that's why he wept. Some people say, well, it was this, well, it was that. Personally, I think that's why he wept, because he had to bring him back. Do you know it? There is no recorded speech from Lazarus after that. He was mad. No, I don't know. He told everybody about the Lord. It says that. They wanted to kill him as bad as they wanted to kill Jesus, and they may have afterwards. We don't really know. You see, we should continue in prayer, and we should continue following the Lord. The Lord said, "Follow me, I will make you fishers of men." He called the apostles. He called them and called them and called them his disciples. He called them and called them and called them, I don't know, 3-4 times. Finally, in the book of Luke, I think it's chapter 5, 1-11, he finally went to them and he said, "Come on, guys, follow me." And they put all of their fishing boats on ashore and they followed him. You see, we need to follow him, but not only that, we need to continue to follow him. And why? You think about the phrase one more time, "I am the Lord." Now, what's it truly mean to you? You think about that. "I am the Lord." What's it truly mean in your heart? Let's stand. Sister Diane, if you'll come up. Every head bowed and every eye closed. No one looking around this morning. Do you know for a fact that if you leave this world, and there's only one way out of here, and that's by death, that you'll wake up with Jesus? If you do, that's a good thing. You need to be following the Lord. As Diane plays, we call that our invitation. Maybe you need to come and pray at the altar. You need to say, "Lord, I try to continually follow you in this, and I try to pray." Did you know prayer is one of the hardest things there is to do? Man, it's hard to pray. Because when you're praying, so many stupid things come in your head. That's the devil. He brings that, but just continue to pray. I got so many enemies. Pray for your enemies. I have people just that out of the irritate me. Pray for that person. "Well, I just don't know if I'm strong enough to do things." Ask the Lord to give you the strength. He said that He will. Philippians 4:13. "I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me." I am the Lord. I am Jehovah, the existing one, the strong one. He is the Almighty God. And He gave His Son, Jesus, for us because He loved us that much. And if a person doesn't know Him, the Bible says that if thou shalt believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. And if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Well, I got to change some things. No, you don't. Lord takes you just as you are. Something about that name. The name of Jesus. Amen. Appreciate your attention and attendance this morning. 6 o'clock this evening.